As we prepare to receive God's word, let us join our hearts in prayer. O Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The first reading is from Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart, so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Do you have a treasure box stashed away somewhere? Maybe yours is really organized, or maybe it is scattered in half a dozen places all over your house. But have you saved some special items somewhere? A recipe in your grandmother's handwriting, or a letter from your dad, or the outfit that your child wore at baptism, a family Bible, a photo album? We all have treasure, these items that are truly irreplaceable. But I bet if we really thought about it, we also have quite a bit of non-treasure, just the random stuff that we've accumulated over the years, tucked away in attics or basements or closets or never opened drawers and hardly remembered. It may even be consumed by moth and rust by now. We would never know. Cleaning out the closets has apparently become a very popular pandemic time activity. I guess for all of us who've been spending more and more time at home, last summer as Goodwill stores were starting to reopen after the shutdowns, there were multiple news stories about how overwhelmed they were with all the donations. They could not handle the volume coming their way, and in some cities, people were waiting in their cars for hours just to have somebody get the items out of their trunk. And that's coming from an organization that specializes in receiving everybody's extra stuff. A few weeks ago, author Ann Patchett, who usually writes novels, wrote an article for The New Yorker about her own pandemic time quest to declutter her house. And she was inspired after her childhood best friend's father passed away, and she saw how big of a job her friend had to clean out his home. Helping her friend clean out that house, going through years of memories, mementos, trinkets that he had picked up while traveling, but also a box of over 30 extension cords and a collection of batteries and light bulbs so large that it made it into his will, forced Patchett to think about her own death. Would she be leaving a job like this to somebody someday? She writes, "Tavia's father died when she and I were 56 years old. At any other time, we might have been able to enjoy a few more years of ignoring the fact that we too were going to die. But thanks to the pandemic, such blithe disregard was out of the question. So in the summer of 2020, she got started, slowly sifting through every closet, every high cabinet in the kitchen, every drawer full of old plastic soup containers, everything down to the green square serving dish that she bought 15 years before but never put on the table. And she describes this unexpected feeling of guilt over getting rid of the items, guilt over not having made good use of something, guilt over giving away an item that had been a gift from someone she loves, guilt over never throwing the party where all those beautiful champagne flutes could have been justified. But the more time went by, and the more she detached herself from the objects, the lighter she felt. This was the practice, she writes. I was starting to get rid of my possessions, at least the useless ones, because possessions stood between me and death. They didn't protect me from death, but they created a barrier in my understanding, like layers of bubble wrap, so that instead of thinking about what was coming and the beauty that was here now, I was thinking about the piles of shiny trinkets I'd accumulated. I had begun the journey of digging out. Jesus makes a connection, too, between accumulating possessions and death. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and thieves do not break in and steal. But it's also about our life right now. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the culmination of a long series of teachings from Jesus about what really matters. And Jesus has set each one of the teachings up in pairs. So, when you give alms, do you sound a trumpet and make sure everybody sees your good deed? Or do you give quietly, not expecting anything in return, trusting that God knows the story? When you pray, do you use big words and say long public prayers so that everybody can see how holy you are? Or do you go into a room, shut the door, and pray to God sincerely and in secret? When someone has done wrong to you, do you forgive as God forgives? Or do you seek your own revenge? When you fast, do you disfigure your face to show others? Or do you put the oil on your head and wash your face, letting God see your heart? And each teaching is really ultimately asking the same question. Are you living for the world, or are you living for God? Are you trying to get ahead in this life, to gain a certain status? Is that where you will find ultimate security when you have accumulated enough of what belongs to the world, whether it is possessions or money or power? Or can you find true security in the love of God? Can you find the freedom to enjoy this world but not be bound by it? Can you find a thrill in storing up treasure in heaven, even if it means letting go of the treasures we cling to so tightly on earth? A friend of mine found herself cleaning out a home too while we were in college, but not by choice. It was because of a fire at her grandmother's house. And one of those irreplaceable treasures, her mom's wedding dress, was among the losses. Katie's mom had stored that dress in her own mother's home for well over 20 years by then, and like a lot of Southern moms, she probably had these visions of one of her own daughters wearing it someday. And as they cleaned out the home, they found that dress with all the edges burned, and obviously it was smoke damaged. And no bride would ever want it now. But instead of throwing it away, Katie's mom cleaned the dress, and then she cut it up. She turned it into something new. 4 baptismal gowns for each of her 4 children to someday, hopefully, use for their own children. In effect, she destroyed her own piece of treasure in order to transform it. Because the treasure was never actually the dress, the treasure was the love that it represents. And the treasure was the way that that love overflowed for them into 4 children and now grandchildren. But it only worked if she was willing to cut up the dress and to let go of her own earthly piece of treasure. When things fall apart, when there's a house fire or a pandemic, or when someone we love is sick, it shocks us into remembering what matters the most. And it also kind of gives us permission to cut up that dress that probably nobody would have worn anyway. Because we realize that it's not about the dress. It's not about the memento or even the house. It's the love, the relationships, the covenant. We have all lost a lot this year, both as individuals and as a church. We never would have dreamed that we would cancel Sunday school for over a year, or sanctuary services for almost 11 months, or not have a shared meal together in just as long. But hopefully we've also realized that what matters the most always remains. No moth or rust or virus could ever touch it. It's the love of God and the love that we share in God's name. I wonder if there is a wedding gown somewhere in this church, something damaged by 2020 that needs to be cut up, something whose legacy we want to keep, but whose shape could maybe look differently? Could we turn it into something new? Could we trust God to bring new life out of our old treasures? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Thanks be to God. Amen.